Surely it concerns us Christians very seriously, for we are the people who are responsible. If our Master returned today to find millions of people unevangelized and looked, as of course he would look, to us for an explanation, I cannot imagine what explanation we should have to give. One thing I am certain, that most of the excuses we are accustomed to make with such good conscience now, we should be wholly ashamed of then. That reading prompted him to give up his career as an engineer and dedicate his life to the China Inland Mission, and went to work in China among the Lisu people. That's actually a people group that some of our missionaries are acquainted with. And he struggled there for a number of years with no... He struggled there for a number of years. Black that out. What did I do, Danny? There we go. Got it. Okay. He struggled there for a number of years and saw no converts. Finally, he saw some converts. But within a short time, those people had given up and returned to worshiping idols. But he persisted on, and finally, after a number of years, he saw some converts. And eventually, a number of those people came to Christ, and he was able to see churches established. He accomplished a lot of translation, was able to give them a number of hymns. And the Lisu people were a very musical people, and they are still known today as the singing Christians. I shared some of this message about a year ago, but I really felt burdened to share this again, and I wanted to share it under this concept, this theme that we have for this year: Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. In Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and 15 says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed, and how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Now, one of the things that strikes me as I look at this theme, thy kingdom come. Is it thy kingdom or my kingdom? What's the difference? What makes the difference whether it's thy kingdom or my kingdom? The king, right? The king makes the difference. If he's the king, then it's his kingdom, right? If I'm the king, then it's my kingdom. So we have to ask ourselves, is it my kingdom or thy kingdom? And that was a question James asked himself as he looked. And he said, is it my kingdom? Engineer? Pianist? Whatever I might desire, whatever I might want, or is it thy kingdom? And he heeded God's call on his life. What does my life show about the importance of God's kingdom on earth? Does my life give any indication whatsoever that it is about his kingdom? Or does every indicator point to the fact that it is my kingdom? I'm in charge. I control. I choose. I do what I wish. My life is mine. Where on earth do I wish to see God's kingdom? Right here? Do I wish to see God's kingdom in China? Do I wish to see God's kingdom in Myanmar, where Abigail just was? Do I wish to see God's kingdom among those who have not heard? And what is my life showing about that wish? What would indicate in my life that I wish God's kingdom to come on earth? Do I understand the heart of God? Do I really feel what God feels? Where does the idea of missions come from? Whose thought was it? Was it some James Frazier who all of a sudden come up with this idea that we need to go and tell people about the gospel? Where did it come from? How much of my life should be devoted to missions? Can I take a chunk of my life and split it out and have it devoted to missions? What is fruitfulness? Now, there's a lot of things that we could think about. One of the things that often comes up when we start talking about missions, people say there's so much work to do here. And that's true. But I want us to think about, of all the unreached people groups in the world, 86% of them are right there in that area. North Africa, Asia. And a third of the world's population is unreached. Does not have the gospel. Now I want to illustrate something for us. We get hung up on this thing that there's so much to do here, but I want us to understand how this fits proportionally. There's a bench there with five farmer boys on it. Just perfect. Come up here and help me out. We have a job to do. Our whole church has a job to do. Just stand over here in a group for me, please. We have St. Joseph County to harvest. There's about 220,000 acres of farmland in St. Joseph County. Okay? We have that whole area to harvest. Now, you guys ready to help with this? How about the rest of you? Everybody ready to help? I use this as an illustration. It gives us a proportion. It gives us something to understand and think about. Now, you got to understand a couple of things. These people here get to harvest four fields the size of the field behind our house. Okay? You guys are going to have to do the rest of the county. Is that all right? I forgot to tell you, too, these people are going to have a nice new John Deere combine and some other equipment to go with it, and you guys are going to have to use hand scythes. And where you go, the people are not going to be friendly. They're not going to like you. They're going to try to chase you out. Is that okay? You still ready to help? Now, you say, there's lots to do. Yeah, there is. There's four fields, 600 and some acres for you guys to harvest. There's lots to do. But that gives you a proportion of what it looks like for the amount of people that are working today to reach the unreached people and the amount of people that are working in areas where the gospel has already been taken. Okay? You guys can sit down. Thanks. I appreciate it. That helps me to get a picture of why it's so important to understand what James Frazier understood. Because without understanding that, we don't get it. Now, there's some other things that we have to understand. Not only are the personnel very unequally distributed, but so are all the things that go with it, the funds and everything else. 87%, let's just look at it this way. Out of $100 that's given by the church, 50 cents goes to missions. Okay? So, we've got all this land to harvest, and most everybody's keeping most of the money for their own houses, for their own things, for their own churches, all of this kind of thing, and you guys don't get 50 cents, sorry. Out of every dollar, remember, out of $100, 50 cents goes to missions. Out of every dollar given to missions, one penny goes to reach the unreached. You see the disproportion? You understand why God's heart is burdened? You understand why this becomes something that's almost absurd to even think about? You know, we hear sometimes people say, well, why do we give so much money over there to reach these unreached? We're not. Sorry. It's not happening. Look at the proportions. Look at what is happening. I didn't take the time to go into our own church budget and break it down and see what percentage of our giving actually goes to unreached people. I didn't take the time to do that. It'd be an interesting thought. This is what the average Christian gives per day to reach the unreached of the world. Does it look like we're trying to do anything? If we told these guys, you know, we want you to harvest this whole county, we'll give you a penny a day to meet your expenses. And each of us did that. You'd eat pretty well, right? No. You'd be able to get a lot done, right? No. That's the picture. That's the reality. These are statistics that show us these things. One of the things that's interesting is we have not done well in going out into the world and taking the gospel as God's church. We've established that already. We've shown some realities. God has actually even brought these people to us, and we're still not doing very well. And I'll just put in this. What I'm hearing from the Christian community about refugees coming into our country is not the heart of the Father. Pay attention. There's 22 million international people coming to the U.S. each year. About 630,000 of them are university students. They're coming here to study. They're coming here to learn. They're from 220 countries. 25%, a fourth of those countries that they come from, prohibit missionaries. Missionaries can't even get in there. So these students are coming here and they're learning. 80% of those students that come here, of the 630,000, 80% of them will return to their homes and never have been invited to an American home. So, what are we doing? 40%, this I found this interesting. Out of the 220 heads of state of foreign countries, 40% of them have studied in the United States. So almost half of them have come here to study. They've gone back to their countries 60% of the international students that come here come from that 1040 window, that area of the unreached part of the world. 60% of those students come here. 90% of all those students that come are never reached by any ministry here in the United States. So God says, okay, you're not going to go. You're not going to share the gospel and carry the gospel across the world to those that need it. I'm going to bring them to you. You can stay in your home. You can stay in your communities. You can enjoy the things that you're enjoying. I'll bring them to you here. And we sit there and twiddle our thumbs with that as well. Now, I want you to understand, I am not standing here this morning saying that all of us need to move to the 1040 window. But I do want us to get a clear picture of what reality is, what the need is, what the proportions are, and how that applies to us. God has a tremendous desire for the nations, and I'm not going to take time to look at all these scriptures this morning. Jeremiah 3:17, Jeremiah 4:2, Isaiah 60 verse 3. But I want us to look at Malachi 1:11. If you remember, a few years ago, our theme was making God's name great. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Making God's name great on earth. And this is what God said Himself through the prophet Malachi. From the rising of the sun, even to the going down of the same, from one side of the earth to the other. Okay? My name shall be great among the Gentiles, and in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord. That's the heart of God. That's what God was thinking about when He thought about mankind. He wants all men everywhere to know about Him, to have the opportunity to come to Him, to hear from Him. Now you go into the New Testament, and the New Testament writers picked up on this as well, Acts 26:23, that He should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles, talking about Christ. Romans 3:29, is He the God of the Jews only? Is He not also the God of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Romans 15:9, the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy. Ephesians 3:6, the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. You know what? We're all Gentiles. And most of those people in that 1040 window are Gentiles. God's desire is for the Gentiles, those who were not His people under the Old Covenant, the Jewish nation, to be part of His kingdom. That's the heart of God. He longs for that. Who does He expect to do that work? The heathen? Who does He expect to do that work? Hello? The church, His people. His heart is that. And we say, God, Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth. And God says, my will is that the Gentiles know the name of Jesus Christ. And we say, oh, there's too much to do here. Really? I'm not minimizing what there is to do here. Don't misunderstand me. And we need to be busy wherever we are. We'll see that. But we need to understand the big picture. And we need to see why so many, like James Frazier did. He said, the pamphlet he read said, so many of our arguments are going to seem so worthless when we stand before Christ and give account and give our answer for why those people have never received the gospel. The Bible talks a lot about fruit bearing. And along with this whole thing of harvest goes the idea of fruit bearing. Leon, how many years would you be able to stay farming if you planted one bushel and got two back? Not very long. You like fruitful fields, right? We all do. We plant a garden. You know, you plant those seeds, you plant one bean, it makes a stalk, and the stalk makes beans, hopefully lots of beans. We like things to be fruitful. God does too. He wants us to be fruitful. So He says, God told Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. What did that mean? If they'd have had one child, would they have been fruitful? Yeah, they would have been, but not to the extent that God wanted them to be, right? Being fruitful meant to multiply, to bring forth. And in Mark chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, He talks about the different kinds of soils and the seeds that were planted. He said some fell up or was planted and it sprung up among the thorns. The thorns choked it out and it didn't produce any fruit. It wasn't fruitful. It did not multiply. It did not bring forth, okay? And then others there fell on good ground and increased and so on. And some brought forth 30 times. Some brought forth 60 times. Some brought forth 100 times. And farmers like it when it brings forth 300, 400, 500, 600 times, right? The more the better. Absolutely. That's fruitfulness. And God is looking to our lives for our fruitfulness. What does He see? One of the questions I've asked myself different times, and I continue to ask that, had I been one of those in the early church, the Apostle Paul, Peter, James, John, so on, would there even be a church today? Would there be any church today? Any Christians left on the world? Would my fruitfulness have been effective enough that there would have been generations? I think it's an important question we need to ask ourselves. God is looking for fruit bearing. Now, what can I do? What can you do? What can we adjust in our lives, or what can we think differently about? Number one, I have to give my King the right to direct my life, direct my thinking. And so I have to give missions the same place in my life that God wants it to have, right? If His kingdom is going to come on earth, His will is going to be done on earth, then I have to give the same place to missions that He gives to it. And just think about that for a little bit. What place does God give missions? What place does He give? High priority, right? We wouldn't be here if He didn't. For God so loved the world. America? Well, yeah, that's included. But it's not above anybody else in the world. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on Him might have eternal life. God's heart is for missions. For people to know and receive the gospel. So I need to give the same place in my heart to missions that God gives to it. We can pray and watch for opportunities. I'm convinced that if we want opportunities, God will bring them to us. What does that tell me about myself? If I'm not having opportunities, it's probably because I'm not looking or I'm not wanting. One of the two. Because God will bring them to us. Just start praying and watching for opportunities. Lord, how can I share the gospel with this person? Lord, who do you have for me today to share the gospel with? Lord, where on earth can I be used effectively? We need to automatically assume that I need to be involved in some way to help reach the unreached. I may need to go. I may need to sacrifice so that someone else can go. I need to pray. I need to be involved in some way or other because God is looking for those who will help to take the message to that part of the world, that vast part of the world. Almost one-third of the population of the world that has not heard or lives in an area where the gospel has not been taken. I need to seek to be fruitful where I am. We often talk about God looking for those who are faithful, and that's true. But a big part of faithfulness is fruitfulness. How fruitful am I? A farmer who plants a certain kind of corn and it doesn't yield well does not keep using that same kind of corn. He's going to get a kind that is fruitful, right? God sees our lives as well. Is my life fruitful? And I think we need to pray for fruitfulness in our lives. Lord, make me fruitful. Make me someone that brings fruit to you, that causes others to respond to the gospel message. Pray and ask God what He wants you to do. Lord, your kingdom come. Really? Is that, we can say that Lord's Prayer so fast and so easy and it just flows out and means nothing. Lord, your kingdom come on earth. Well, if His kingdom's going to come on earth, then it means those that are part of His kingdom have something to do. Everyone. There's none of us excluded. It doesn't matter how old, how young, how rich, how poor. It's not about that. It's about who's king and what can I do. So ask God, what do you want me to do? Jesus told us, pray for laborers. Pray and ask the Father to send laborers into the harvest. You know, if these five boys had been working for a month and the harvest was wasting away and they had only gotten one small corner done, they'd be sending messages back to the rest of us and saying, could somebody please come help us? Or they'd send messages to me as the one that got this thing all together and say, could you get some of these guys to come help us? And that's what Jesus said, pray the Father. He's the one that got this around. It's His kingdom. Lord, your kingdom come to earth. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Lord, Jesus said, pray the Lord of the harvest that He send forth laborers into the harvest. That's something that you and I can pray. Here's something that's really good. I think there's about 6,500 in that neighborhood of unreached people groups in our world today. The number's decreasing. It's not that we're doing nothing. It's that there's so much to be done and we're not getting involved. But there are things being done, and the number of unreached groups keeps decreasing. But right now there's about 6,500. 6,500 groups of people. Some as small as several hundred, some in the millions, that have not been reached with the gospel. An unreached group is considered one that does not have enough Christians among it to actually be able to be fruitful, to reach out to others. You and I can read about and pray for a specific people group and pray how God would help us to be involved. Whether we pray for a person, whether we support one, whether we send one, whether we go, we can do that. There's a book in our church library called Operation World. And you can get that book. If you want one, I can get one for you. Operation World. You can start reading in there and it starts talking about all of these. There's another, unreachedoftheday.net. And there's an app that you can get for you. I've had it on my phone now for probably over a year. Unreached of the Day. Every day, it gives statistics about a people group. Tells where they are, tells how many of them there are, tells whether they have scripture in their language, and so on. It's an app that you can use, and you can pray for that group. That's the purpose of it. You read about the group. You pray for them. If you don't have a phone that can do it, you can go on the computer and do the unreachedoftheday.net. It has it there as well. We can do more. And we need to do more. We need to think about, what does God have for me? Lord, Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth. Well, I mean, my kingdom come and it'd be done right here, right? My burden continues to increase as I see the needs. We've got in GTO, we're a small organization, and I don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying GTO is the only one doing this. There's so many opportunities, but I'm most acquainted with that. We have got so many opportunities for people to be involved, where there are already people working and they're having responses continually, having people respond to the gospel. And if there were more there to labor with them, there would be so much more. But there's a lot to do at home. Lord, Your kingdom come or My kingdom come? What is it? Let's stand for prayer. God, I pray that You work in my heart. Continue to speak to me and to point out to me, Lord, those areas where I can hear Your voice, where I can yield myself to Your kingship, Your lordship. Those areas, Lord, where I could sacrifice, whether it's my time, whether it's my money, whether it's myself and being willing to go. Whatever it is, dear Lord, that I could sacrifice to advance the cause of Your kingdom across the world where the name of Jesus is not known. Lord, we pray that You speak to our hearts. We thank you for what you have done and what you are doing. We thank you, Lord, for the stirring of your Spirit among us to speak to people, to give themselves to the cause, whether it's by going or giving or by whatever means you call them to, Lord. We thank you for those that are willing to support the cause of seeing the gospel go forth around the world. And we pray that you burden our hearts of how we can get involved or even get more involved. And we thank you for it. Dismiss us with your blessing, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.